This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by
Dog Boy, Den of Thieves by Bill Meeks. Available now on the Amazon Kindle, at CreateSpace, and find out more at dogboyadventures.com.
What were you and my father talking about?
What do you think? You.
What about me?
If you'd ever forgive him, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think I should forgive him?
Definitely not. But I think you will.
Why is that?
Because it's the right thing to do, Alice. And you, unlike me, will usually do the right thing.
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is something that matters even more to you, me. We also talk about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Did I mess that up?
I think you completely butchered it, but it's okay.
I need to keep that.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to keep it. No problems. That's our guest. We'll introduce her in a minute. Anne-Marie, I think before we get into the main meat of the episode, we do want to clear up a little something that we were very insistent upon last episode.
Okay. The show is not canceled.
Mm-hmm.
The show is not canceled. It apparently isn't even trimmed.
Apparently, the only show on ABC next season is Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. They're replacing the entire schedule with Once Upon a Time
over
in Wonderland.
Over and over and over, because we're really going to like it.
It'll just be the same episode played over and over. Well, it'll be the same one episode, play that episode in reverse, play it back again.
They'll do it in Spanish.
Yeah.
Maybe a little German.
Adam, God of tweets.
But up until, I think when we recorded our last episode, I couldn't find anything on the internet's past episode 8. Pretty sure literally the next day, there was like Twitter outrage from the creators saying that the show was not canceled. I was like, oh.
Adam doesn't go off on people. He went off on that guy. I was just like, oh my God, Adam.
Well, it could have been a situation where it was coinciding with the fact that he finally got the news and he wanted to share it, but there were people bitching at him on Twitter or whatever.
It was a big Twitter. It was like Vicinity or like BuzzFeed. It was like one of the big hubs for news, and they were posting flat out like, this show is canceled, and Adam was like, hold the phone.
Nice. Well, for all of you listening, that is our guest this week, Hope Mullinax.
What's up?
Yeah, you might recognize that name.
Yes.
Hope writes in all the time, or tweets us, or, you know, we're back and forth on Twitter all the time. She was also on the Once Upon It second season panel with me at Dragon Con. But how you doing tonight, Hope?
Good. I got off work, so I'm much better now, because retelling the holidays is not
it's fun. Torture. Yeah. It's really, absolute torture.
Yeah. Christmas is my favorite
holiday.
The
circle of hell, right? Retail on the holidays.
Yes.
The holidays.
Yes. I'm still recovering from Black Friday.
I don't even want to think about that. I think I worked like 25, 30 hours between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I was like the overnight manager, but like the day before to get ready there for Black Friday, I was till 4 a.m. on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Speaking of recovering from stuff, though, Hope, you're also recovering a little bit from Enchanticon, too, right? The Once Upon a Time convention they had down, what was it, Orlando, I think?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, I did a nice, like, full recap in my blog, and I've gotten two reactions from it. Like, I've gotten the majority of the people who went were, this was, like, their first convention, so they just didn't really know. And then there's, like, people like me and Rebecca who have been going to conventions for years. I've been
Rebecca
going
from Operation Cobra Cast. She's been on the show before.
Yeah, she was on Wonderland 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm sitting here, like, seeing all these mistakes that are happening, and everyone kept letting it go, like, oh, well, Enchanticon's a first-year con. Well, I went to 221B Con earlier this year, and it was also a first-year con, and it was world's difference. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the people who could afford to do, like, the big packages and do all the things had an awesome time, and I'm so happy they had a great time, because I wanted them to. Mm-hmm. But the people who couldn't really afford going, they got left with, like, just tons of downtime. Like, there was three-hour chunks of nothing to do, which is just completely weird at cons. And the price point was insane. Like, it costs more than a Comic-Con ticket.
Wow.
We agree. That is why we did not. We're able
yeah.
to go.
And I
wait, so, what were the premium packages like? What did you get? Just like a sit down with some of the actors? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, you got to go to meet and greets, and it was like groups of 10, and you got one on one, like 30 minutes to an hour, like one on one with your actor of choice. But you had to pay for each package, unless you did like the bigger packages where you got a choice of like 3 actors or 5 actors.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to, if you got one of the little packages, but you wanted to do a meet and greets, you had to pay for those separately. You had to pay for the fairy tale ball, which I'm very much against because I've never paid for a dance ever in 12 years of conventions.
Yeah.
Which I just found that ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's just, I haven't been to a ton of conventions, but any convention I've ever been to, it's you pay your admission, your ticket to get in, and, you know, there might be one or two little events that you have to pay a little extra for here or there, but in general, that's the exception, not the rule. Like, you don't have to pay for every little thing, you know, throughout the convention, and they, you know, a lot of times what they do to so they can still provide, you know, that premium sort of events like dances and things like that is they offset the cost with like vendors and stuff too. And I guess there weren't even that many vendors there or anything.
No, there was 2 on the first day and a few more the second day, and they were in this ginormous room all by themselves. Mm. And that was pretty much like my big criticism of the entire con is I don't think they really took the time to look at the fandom. Because mm-hmm. I kept referring to it back in my recap back to 221 BCon, and they actually went out of the way. They put on Twitter, like, what do you guys want to see out of our con? Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of fandom crossovers. Like, a big thing in the Sherlock fandom is, like, Cabin Lock and Who Lock and Super Who Lock, which is, like, crossing over Supernatural, Doctor Who, and Sherlock together. they're really great. And so they did, like, Doctor Who panels because Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat write for those shows.
Yeah.
And then they did, like, Cabin Pressure panels because Benedict Cumberbatch is in Cabin Pressure. And they really wanted to appease the fans and do something that the fans would like. Mm-hmm. Now, from what I heard at Enchanticon, like, they only got a Twitter just because it was a convention. They never really been on Tumblr. They really didn't ask the fans anything, and they just kind of did what they wanted to do. And my friend Shannon, who was on the panel with us at Dragon Con, I asked her if she was going to convention. She said, well, no, it's not a fan convention. It's a look at the pretty people on, like, on display convention. And she used much stronger language that I will not use on your podcast.
It's already cursed once, I accidentally.
Yeah. But... Well, okay. She called it a celebrity wank-off convention.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so, and that's pretty much what it was. Now, the actors were great. It was so great seeing them all again. Because I saw Keegan and Raphael at Dragon Con. And it was nice because they remembered me. And, like, the stuff that you could afford, like, I snuck into a fancy cocktail party I wasn't really supposed to be at. Hey, I kind of halfway got permission, so I didn't fully sneak into it. And it was great. It was great. Like, Gil was wonderful. I kind of wish I got to meet him after he's been in a few more episodes, because I'm only really familiar with him in, like, the one episode of Supernatural he was in. Mm-hmm. But he was great. And Ethan Embry was my big surprise. Like, he is the most approachable person ever.
Was he upset about his character being killed off?
I didn't get a chance to ask him. Actually, we had this, like, in-depth talk about normality compared to social standards.
Nice.
Because we just had, like, I always try to talk to them as people, because that's the way, like, working in theater, that's what they are to me. They're just people. While you would see other people be like, oh my god, it's Ethan Embry. And then Keegan was lovely and a smashing dresser as she always is.
She always is. I got very starstruck with her at Dragon Con.
Oh yeah, she was ready for business at Dragon Con. She was just like,
oh yeah,
decked to the nines and everything.
Yeah. Yep. And then who's the other person? Oh, David Anders. Oh, that was.
How did you forget that?
Who else? Oh, one of my favorite characters from the show. That's
he is my favorite character. I'm a diehard whale watcher. Like,
see, I couldn't
so
remember if it was Jefferson or whale.
Jefferson, no, they're equal to me. I see them both equally because I think they've equally brought the exact same to the show, and we wouldn't have Neverland Season 3 without them, but that's just me. my diehard theory. But definitely, he was probably the one I was most nervous about, and I was excited because I was telling him some of my theories, and he said it sounded better than what they write in the show. Granted, they were all theories on his character, so if those were written in, he would get work. And he's also stated before on one's podcast interview with him that he wants to be a regular on the show. So
yeah,
But it was
now that they're headed home, maybe that'll happen.
And you taped a little bit of that with David, right?
Oh yeah, I had a 10-minute interview, and it was 10 minutes from the moment I walked in the door. So
is that linked from the post you put up on your Tumblr?
No, it's not. That's actually, I should do that. Thank you. But it is up on my Twitter feed or my what's it called? My podcast feed. I have a podcast. yeah, it's up on my podcast feed. It's a little short little interview, and he was just absolutely lovely. It was my first time interviewing an actor, so I wish I shut up more because I just kept talking.
Like, actors do like to talk. They do like the sound of their own voice.
I know, and I gave him like the entire history of the commission during In the Name of the Brother, because it's actually an incredibly tragic history. And but I just I was listening to it again. I was just like, oh my god, why didn't I shut up more? But overall, like, Enchanted Con's not for me. It's I like fan conventions. I go to cons to do con stuff and do panels and roundtables and stuff like that. But people who actually, you know, could afford to do all the packages, they loved it. So I think it just depends on the person.
Yeah, so basically, if you had to choose between Enchanted Con or, I don't know, maybe going to Dragon Con next year and hitting up all the Once Upon a Time stuff.
Dragon Con's my birthday. Dragon Con always falls on my birthday.
We have, like, same birthday weekend.
Yeah, so, like, Anne-Marie and I are birthday buddies, so.
Yep.
Nice. But, I always choose Dragon Con, but I was actually chatting with Bree and Alex from Other Side of the Mirror about, like, the possibilities of doing our own Once Upon a Time fan convention.
Well, that would be very cool. Like we'd be completely down for helping.
You guys should totally join us because we'll need help putting it together.
We would love to because we emailed the Enchanticon people when it was first announced and never got a reply.
I've been hearing that from a lot of people that, like, they weren't really active in replying back. And, like, that was another thing. They never updated their schedules. Like, the schedule was wrong when you picked it up. They had the wrong time for our panels. And I was talking to this girl named Ashley, and she was an event planner, and they never wrote her back. And a lot of the art vendors, I heard from another person, a lot of Once Upon a Time artists wanted to come to the convention, and they never wrote back to these vendors that they could have had.
That's a missed opportunity.
It was a lot of missed opportunities. But it's all on my blog, Geeky Girl Experience. Actually, it's on my other blog, Once Upon an Obsession. I have two blogs. I have a Once Upon a Time blog, and then I have my regular blog. But if you go to onceuponanobsession.tumblr.com, I have the entire thing under my general writing section.
Yeah, and I think we should have a link to it in the show notes for this episode too, at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. So definitely check out her full report and the interview with David and everything else. And sounds like it was a bust.
But, you know, it was the fan side of it was great. I loved meeting the fans. I had a 3-hour-long panel with Other Side of the Mirror. And panels are what, like an hour? We were like begging people to leave because we were starving. So like we had like a 30-minute talk about like the mythos of just the fairies. Like, you know, what happened with Blue Fairy and how did Silver Mist get to Wonderland and Tink to Neverland? Like we talked about for like another 30 minutes, like the breakdown of how we thought the history of this world went, like with King George's invasions. How is Charming a prince and so is Cinderella and so is Eric? Like we talked about like that system for like a good 30 minutes, and that will be up in a few weeks. I'm just so slammed at work with retail in the Christmas season.
Just haven't got a chance to.
Edit a 3-hour podcast.
Understood. Well, we definitely appreciate you taking the time to come talk Wonderland with us today. Let's see here, Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and do the famous rhyming summary, and then we'll go ahead and get started with our discussion for this week's episode of Wonderland.
I'm excited about giving this before anybody else.
if you had signed in at the right time, you could have even seen me typing it in.
Okay. We travel to Agrabah to see Jafar's trials. The Sultan's his daddy, but he's in denial. Alice's dad gets thrown in a cage. Why Jafar looks just like him, it's harder to gauge. Jafar gets a clear motive. He wants to change magic. Alice forgives dad, whose prayers aren't sporadic. Alice and Will's plan is a dud, all in this week's episode, Bad Blood.
I like that one. Good job,
Thank
Bill.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Pat myself on the back here.
I would pat you on the back, but I would hit my computer screen. Hell.
Okay, so let's see. We'll start with Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, what'd you think of this episode overall?
Not terrible.
You didn't sound so convinced, but
no, it wasn't terrible. I thoroughly enjoy all the Jafar backstory action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, he was better as a character this episode, even in the present day, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Something about the way he stands when he's in, like, the full Jafar garb. Like, when he was in the suit, he seemed a little more intimidating.
Yes!
He just seems kind of goofy.
Well, he hunches
or something in the dress. It's just, I don't know. It's weird how he's standing. It's like he's trying to be intimidating, but it just comes off as kind of like, I don't know, just bad posture or something.
Well, you see now where he's learned it from in this episode, from Daddy-O the Sultan. So, I don't know. It wasn't bad. I actually really did enjoy the whole Sultan timeline stuff. But I don't know.
I wanted to, like, smack his little brother back.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for that. I was really waiting for him to be like, you know what? Pa-cow!
So, I hope, what did you think of the episode overall?
Good. Last week was probably my favorite episode, so it's kind of hard to compare the two.
We've been finding it seems like every other one episode's kind of bad, and then the next episode's pretty okay, and then the next one's kind of bad, and then the next one's pretty okay, and on and on and on.
Well, I mean, Wonderland did exactly what I thought it was going to do. Because I was more excited for Wonderland than I ever was for Neverland, but I just also love Alice in Wonderland. So I've been stupid excited for their show.
Yeah.
So, like, after the first episode, and, like, it was kind of meh, meh, it did exactly what I thought it would do, which I think it's built well on itself, and it's building well on its own mythos. Mm-hmm. Because I also just firmly believe you cannot compare it to Once Upon a Time at all.
Yeah.
The only way you could compare it, like, to keep in mind, is the same universe, but the moment you compare it to the real show, that sounds terrible, to the main show, it's bad.
Yeah.
So I think it did exactly what I'd done, what I thought, and I think it's building well every week, and I think next week's going to be really good. Excellent. But that didn't answer your question. It was good.
No, but it definitely, it serves a purpose. But me and Anne-Marie were talking about this earlier today. It's just with how good the main series has been this season, with the whole Neverland arc and everything, just how darkly fun it's been. That it's just, if this show had come on last season when, it kind of ebbed and what the main show kind of ebbed and flowed in quality, especially the first half, it would have been welcome.
I think it would have done better or been more entertaining if they'd have done it at the mid-season break as was originally planned.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I originally heard something that they were thinking about doing Once Upon a Time, Once Wonderland, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and have, like that would have been awesome.
All three in one night.
Yeah, see, that would have been another way to maybe get the ratings up on Wonderland.
If people would leave their TVs on to wait for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that would have been an awesome, like, block of television, like, and I would get, like, two nights of my week, like, in one night.
So. Yeah, that would be nice to have those back.
Yeah, and I was kind of, if you hadn't picked up on it, I was kind of middling on the episode, but I was kind of excited that we finally got a clear motive for Jafar, and that's my first point here, is basically we understand why Jafar is chasing these genies, and it's because he wants to change the rules of magic so he can make his father love him. And I was thinking, one, that's good because it gives us a main motivation finally for Jafar. Like, we had a kind of a method. He was collecting genies, but now we have a why. He wants to change the rules of magic.
Well, and
it could also be a good hook back into the main show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew he wanted to change the rules of magic. That was the last. That was in the Serpent. They established.
Was that in the Serpent?
Yeah, but they didn't.
But they didn't tell us why.
A why? Yeah, the why of it. Gaining his father's love. Sorry, with Skype sometimes it can be all stepping over each other. Go ahead, Hope. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was apologizing because I stepped on you.
No, it's fine.
Mad.
No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go.
Oh, you.
Stop being so nice, Bill. God.
But I think it'll be a good hook back into the main. it might end up being the hook back into the main show, because it seems like, and we'll talk about it more in the news section, but it seems almost like next week we might be seeing some sort of major magical event happening on the show. So I'm thinking maybe he'll succeed, and maybe that'll influence, what's going on for the mid-season break, which I believe is the following Sunday after the mid-season finale for Wonderland.
See, I think it's going the opposite direction. I think we're hooking the main show back into this one. I mean, because if you look at Pan, like, Pan has other people who lie for him, but he's only said one lie, which was right in front of Henry when he was like, your parents don't love you, they're not really there. But other than that, he has never told a lie physically. And so I do think magic is actually dying and in all these worlds, and that's why, you know, Blue Fairy is so protective of the pixie dust, because magic really is truly dying. So I think we're going to see it go the opposite way. And it's, if Jafar changes the rules of magic, I think he's going to find out that that's not going to be able to happen because magic is in fact dying in Wonderland.
Or maybe it's something where he tries to change the rules of magic and it starts the process of the killing of magic, because compared to the timeline of the main show right now, we're Emma and Snow are probably still in the Enchanted Forest and everything. Yeah, so I mean, true. So anything could happen, really. But it was nice to finally get a why too. But I believe that kind of leads into your point, Amory.
Yes, the man in the cage.
Yes,
he is the Sultan.
As confirmed finally, as everyone with half a brain guessed by this point.
We have all predicted that one from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's a bad guy.
I think that's debatable.
He was slapping a small child.
He
drowned him.
He drowned a kid who thought he was a son.
Yeah, but you got to think about, like, the society and, like, the history of society. Like, you know, look at our own Middle Eastern society and, like, what it was, like, 100 years ago. It's a very similar premise. And, like, you know, I always kind of think he doesn't have any relations to this kid. He didn't raise this kid. I mean, it's kind of like what Emma was like in season one. Like, she wanted Henry to be her friend, but she didn't want Henry to be, like, her son. She wasn't ready for that. So I think it's just, like, you know, he had just no ties to the sun, and Jafar coming would just ruin everything, because that's so not appropriate in their society.
Well, so basically what you're saying, within the context of the world, it was an excusable action and probably not wouldn't be considered to anyone who would have witnessed it.
Okay, but
yeah, we are not encouraging the drowning of children.
No,
but given the context, it wasn't as evil as, say, doing it like me going upstairs and drowning my kid or something.
Yeah, but like, you know, a couple hundred years ago in like our Middle Eastern society, something like that could get you dethroned. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just came away at the end of the episode when they made the big reveal and he tried to trick Jafar by jumping into the pit. Like, I really didn't care. If he had died, I was like, well, you know what? He was kind of a jerk anyway. And it kind of made me actually question the motivation we got from Jafar a little bit, just because if the guy tried to kill you, why do you want his acceptance or his love anyway? I mean, like,
because I have to wonder, like, in the time period from between he was the young Sultan to the old Sultan, because, like, he was a really young guy when Jafar was a kid. So for all we know, he could have gained all this wisdom and regret, but that's just a story we haven't seen. Because I always liked him. He always had this so much wisdom whenever he talked to Cyrus. And so I'm wondering if there is a time period from when he was young to when he was older, and he actually regretted those actions until Jafar came back and pretty much tried to, like, kill him and imprison him, which I can see why then he would hate Jafar.
Yeah, the guy in the cage, I mean, he was my third favorite character on the show until this week. But Amory, you were going to say something?
I don't know.
It's gone now.
No, but I mean, he was my third favorite character until this week. And then once I found out that about him and how he treated, young Jafar and everything, I was just like, I mean, just especially because of how easy it would have been for him to
just say
if,
it.
Or I don't know, even just shown young Jafar a little more respect. Yeah, have him be the servant boy, but, you know, don't make him bite his tongue and don't try and kill him when he doesn't. You know, like,
yeah,
he could have been very quietly been the servant boy there in the palace. I mean, they might have had a slip up every once in a while. His most trusted advisors would have known the truth. But, you know, but I guess he was just so obsessed with having the other kid be the Sultan after he died that he just didn't want to risk that.
And I think it was because Jafar was older than the other kid.
Mm-hmm. So he definitely would have been the default.
So he'd have been the default.
Fine.
Yeah, probably not, though, because he was a bastard child. I mean, like, you know, look at English history. Very rarely do bastard older children ever actually become kings. When instead, you know, you have the younger, actually, I don't want to say pure blood because that's very Harry Potter, but you have the younger pure bloods. They tend to become kings more. Like bastard children rarely actually become.
Well,
like
yeah, kings. Back in oldie times, you know, bastard children that were born out of wedlock, they were kind of considered second class citizens anyway. I mean, Game of Thrones, the series Game of Thrones, touch on this a bit. I believe any child who's born out of wedlock is automatically given the last name of Snow. To kind of like label them as like, oh, this guy's a bastard child or whatever. We said bastard probably 50 times in the past minute.
Bastard.
But it was all valid. It was all valid.
It's all referencing the show directly. It's in the Bible. It can't be a curse.
But
yeah, I hope I don't get like hate mail, like, you support kids getting drowned in. Like, no, I don't. I see why.
That's going to be the episode description for this episode. On this episode, our guest Hope talks about why she wants to drown children.
No, I used to be a nanny. Don't do that. I love kids.
Okay, Hope, you had a point here about the Red Queen?
Oh, I do. Hey.
The Red Queen? I said that kind of weird. The Red Queen.
The Red Queen? I mean, no, I really enjoy seeing her, like, getting, especially in the last few episodes, becoming more proactive. Like, when in the beginning of the season, she was kind of sitting back and letting Jafar do his thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is because I know you guys don't really like the Red Queen that much. I love her, especially since she's keeping true to a lot of Carol's original work. Because he explained her one time as being pedantic to the nth degree and being unemotional. So I love seeing her character have those slips of emotion, like the teary eyes and stuff. But that's because that's going against her in the original canon. And so it's been fun watching her pretty much stand up to every man and telling her that she can do anything. Because in the beginning of the series, Jafar was just like, well, you're just a silly woman and you need to sit aside and let the men do her work. And then she had an episode where she was like, no, Jafar, you're going to make me a sandwich. Okay, go away. And so, like, in the last few episodes, she's told off the Tweedles, she's told off Jafar. Like, she's really stepping into her own character and getting things done herself. And that's why, like, in Heart of Stone, when Will knew exactly what to tell her to make her mad, because he was like, you can't kill me. You're not going to kill me. And she had a moment where she was pretty much like, well, yeah, I love you, but I'm going to get an execution now because you said I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So pretty much I like watching her character because every man has tried to tell her, no, you cannot do this. Even her own servants do. And she's told them all about every single episode and has been doing her own thing. And I really enjoy watching her character grow in that way.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the actual physical being, I don't mind so much. It's just, I don't know, the kind of, I don't know, face she puts on when she's the Red Queen. The Botox face. I get what she's going for and I get how it references the original work and everything. It just, I don't know, for some reason it falls flat to me a little bit, especially any scene she's in with Jafar.
I think a lot of it's so hard because I think it's so easy to compare her to Korra.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's another thing is with the queens we've got on the main series, she doesn't quite stack up to a Korra or a Regina or something like that.
She barely stacks up to like a Cinderella.
So. Yeah, really. And I think maybe because we know that Korra is going to be making an appearance in the second half.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, they announced that Barbara Hershey.
I was going to say, I know we've said it on the show.
Was it Barbara Hershey Korra or was it Rose McGowan?
They have Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey Korra because she came to Wonderland as Barbara Hershey.
Yeah, but you never know. She's a shapeshifter. Yeah.
That's true.
But it's definitely Barbara Hershey for at least one episode.
Which, speaking of shapeshifting, we saw a little bit of that this episode. Jafar turned into Alice's dad.
With his polyjuice potion?
Yes, with with the blood juice.
Polyjuice potion is not blood juice.
But, I thought it was interesting, you know, especially, and I mean, this was probably, you know, intentional, but since we were seeing it juxtaposed with the flashbacks for Jafar, considering him and Alice both had very neglectful, almost deadbeat dads, I thought it was just interesting that he didn't gain any empathy towards Alice through that whole excursion of him pretending to be her dad and everything, was still willing to just completely throw her dad away to try and get the wish after realizing how close her situation was to his, you know.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I think it showed the deepest depth. It showed a lot of depth of their characters, because, I mean, Will even says, like, that's the difference with Alice. Like, she's going to forgive her father because she's a good person. And I think it boils down to, like, you know, what makes a good and a bad person? Alice is truly a good person, because even with this hateful past, she'll still forgive him. But Jafar has no urge to do that.
Yeah, see, I don't know. It's just like me. If I was in that situation, if I was there, you know, pretending to be your dad, and I had, I think this potion, you know, basically gave him access to a decent amount of her dad's memories and stuff, because he was saying stuff that he didn't actually know necessarily.
Right. Though he really should have known about the prayer thing.
But, you know, through the whole, like, interacting and dealing with her and remembering all those memories and everything, I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to change back to Jafar and I'm going to be real with her. I'm going to be like, hey, I'm trying to get my dad to love me. You think you can help me out and give me one of those wishes? And I think Alice would at least consider it.
Yeah,
she would have. Yeah.
But I don't understand why he didn't try that, especially when he realized how much Alice would have gotten it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, it's just a minor quibble.
Minor quibble.
Well, with one wish left, do you think she'll give that wish to Will? Because she did promise him a wish.
See, I don't think Will would ask for it at this point, because I think at this point, I don't think Will's in it for the wish. He's in it just because he wants to do the right thing and help his friend.
Yeah.
It's kind of the impression I've got.
The only thing I have to wonder about that is, at the end of the day, he still doesn't have his heart. So I'm wondering if someone's going to get his heart and either control him, or if, you know, whenever he talks about, like, himself and stuff, he might care for Alice, but, like, you know, it's really, you can kind of tell it's hard for him to take emotions in on himself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if he'll personally struggle with taking a wish or not, and, like, whether or not, yeah, I'm going to shut up. I lost my train of thought.
No, I think he will struggle with it. He'll go bloody hell and try and decide whether or not he's going to.
Bloody hell, Alice!
Bloody hell, Alice!
Bloody hell, Alice, I was a werewolf 6 months ago. Emery, you had a point here?
Well, this sort of perfectly leads into my, Cyrus has escaped. Don't save me. Save him. Click. Oops, I'm going to use my second wish and save you. Seriously, Alice?
When are you going to stop using that trick? When it stops working? That was the exact exchange, and Jafar was completely right.
He was completely right. So now who is he going to dangle over a cliff? Like, or turn to stone? Or, I don't know. I was just like, I seriously sat there, sort of how we just went stupid, stupid, stupid Harry, and went stupid, stupid, stupid Alice.
But that's the other side. Like, she's going to let her father die?
Especially after he gave that big monologue about, you know, you were right, I was wrong, I was stupid, you were smart, now let me die. And I don't think, how heartless would she have been to let him die at that point, especially after he at least tried to set right what once went wrong because he's Sam from Quantum Leap.
I was really just about to say.
I realized it as I was saying it. I was like, wait a second, I'm going into a Quantum Leap
hoping
intro
his
here.
Next leap will be the leap.
The leap back to Victorian, I mean, London.
That would also be just, like, as you said, really heartless, because, like, she now has to think, like, he does have another family at home, and however close to fake Victorian England is to our real Victorian England, you know, like, the mom wouldn't really probably be allowed to, like, take a job. Like, he has people to care for at home as well in fake Victorian England.
I'm a bad person. I'd probably let him die since he said let me die.
we'll throw your dad off a cliff.
Well, let's see.
No, my dad. I have a good dad.
Let's see. Hope wants to drown a kid. Anne-Marie wants to kill some guy. I think I'm the only one without blood on my hands in this episode.
So far,
that's good.
We're not done yet.
And this episode of Greetings from Storybrooke, we all go to hell and back. Yeah.
Okay, so Hope, you had a point here?
I'm still laughing. What's my next point?
That's fine. Go ahead. Aladdin.
Oh, I was just wondering when we're going to see Aladdin. And
yeah, me too. It seems really late that we haven't seen Aladdin yet.
I mean, granted, it's also been really late. We haven't gotten other characters in the main show. Like Ariel, they've mentioned Ariel in season one, and we didn't get her until season three.
Well, that's because they couldn't figure out how to work her in.
But at the same time, I've kind of been thinking from the beginning that Cyrus might be Aladdin. And because we don't know how, are genies mythical creatures? Are they people turned into genies?
That was a little unclear to me.
Yeah.
Cyrus.
Yeah, like, I've been kind of, I kind of was thinking for a while, like, maybe when you're a genie, if, because Osiris even says in, like, the, I think it was the second episode, if people, you know, wish for a genie to be free, there's consequences. And right. So I was wondering, like, maybe he was Aladdin, and when he wished his genie free, he became the new genie.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
So, like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, whether or not they're magical creatures, like, mythical creatures, like the fairies. I don't really classify the fairies as actual literal people. I classify them as mythical creatures.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to say. It's like, it seems like if he was Aladdin, why not just call him Aladdin? But in, why make it a mystery? But I would like to, I think, you know, the main series, generally, if they're going to introduce a secondary character in a fairy tale story, they do it when they introduce the primary character. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, they don't kind of like hold off. I don't know. They don't introduce Cinderella, then hold off on the fairy godmother. Like, you got them both in the same episode, even though the fairy godmother was basically, it wasn't Rumpel in disguise.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, you know, it just seems weird that. If Cyrus is Aladdin, it makes sense. But to go this far without seeing him, it seems a little weird. Hopefully we'll get that resolution next week, though.
Yeah, they needed to work on some of their cinematography a little bit, because I didn't need two scenes of him out cold on a beach.
Yeah.
One thing.
Why did it take until like the last 12 seconds of the show for him to wake up? I don't know.
Yeah, that was like the lamest cliffhanger in the world. Oh, he woke up.
And then he said, Alice. I knew that one was coming. Alice.
Like, have him wake up and, like, have Jafar standing there or something.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Interesting or something.
God, their romance bothers me.
But so that dragon not tonight's episode, it was a few nights ago, but in this week's episode, was that supposed to be the Jabberwock, or was it just supposed to be a random dragon?
Didn't they say that Alice already defeated the Jabberwock?
Yeah.
Or no, Bandersnatch, never mind.
No, I thought she defeated the Jabberwock in her last visit.
Yeah.
But did they say that directly?
I don't know.
I think they did, but I don't remember. That was like several episodes
ago. Well, you know what? I'm going to save my point, guys. I'm going to say the Jabberwocks are a species, not a particular creature. So I'm going to say this was another Jabberwock, and they ate Jabberwock meat. And I saved my point. So go ahead, Anne-Marie, with yours. And yours might need saving, too, because you call it a long shot.
Straight up lean, but it's like, a long shot.
The Bandersnatch in the original was, like, a single creature, but in this we see that there are at least two Bandersnatches because they take a mate. So yeah. There could be a species of Jabberwock.
There definitely could. It was believable enough for me to think that I could save my point.
Okay, so my long shot. Jafar's mom's a healer. When she died, it sort of had a little bit of the magic dusty stuff come off of her. Mm-hmm. Then when Jafar is dead, rolled up in a rug, a magical wave of dusty stuff comes over him and he comes back to life. His mom saved him. That's all I'm saying.
I was thinking about that. That was so weird.
That was really weird.
I definitely got the impression that it might be a family thing, his whole magical power
abilities.
Thing. It might have been genetic.
So is the Serpent Lady his cousin, and that's a really gross relationship?
So I'm going to go away from what at this point and say, like, is this maybe another example of blood magic?
The blood magic.
Which I really
be, like, actually, yeah. the whole changey juice is what we're going to call it now.
Polyjuice potion.
But the changey juice, I kind of got the blood magic. Maybe it was just because that's been a thing the past couple weeks on the main show, too. But, you know, that he was using blood for it. It kind of gave that air, a little bit of the blood magic air, too.
I don't understand this show, like, drinking and eating body parts.
Yeah. It's...
Because in the main show, there was a time where someone, like, drank hair in a potion, and, oh, God, like, what is with this show?
Well, it's steeped in, you know, medieval European mythology. They were freaks back then. They were two true freaks.
Oh, really? Yeah, but I'm really? Going there? Okay. Hey, there's my network that I never introduced.
That for you.
Well, you can plug it at the end. They'll get it at the end. It'll be one of those callbacks before it happens, kind of.
Yes.
Okay, and Hope, you had one last point to close us out here.
So I do. They dropped a huge bomb of foreshadowing in this episode. In the last episode, yeah, I kind of got the feeling that there is something a little bit weird with Alice's stepmom. And she, you know, and the, you guys talked about it a little bit in your last episode where you were saying, you know, like maybe she was just reacting like any sane adult would, and which makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, she was trying really hard to like marry Alice away and like getting her out of her house and like getting her away from her daughter, which I can kind of see because there's this crazy person coming to your house. Mm-hmm. But then after Alice makes her wish, Will says, you know, all wishes have consequences. Very next scene, we see the dad with the stepmom. Mm-hmm. And I totally am calling foreshadowing on that one. Because I think they're trying to tell us, hey, this is the consequence. You need to watch this person.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I believe it.
Like, either she's going to do something against Alice's dad, or whenever Alice makes it back to Victorian. I saw you just delete out the other thing. You know, once she gets back to Victorian England, I think the stepmom is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. Almost, and like you said, you know, just the way they put those scenes next to each other and everything, it almost seems like the stepmother might be an adversary more than just trying to keep Alice and her dad from being happy as a family. Maybe she might tie back into Wonderland. Maybe she was sent there by someone or something.
Maybe she was the White Queen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, hey, that'd be a good one.
I love like when those one. Moments
I'm
happen to me.
I think Victorian England has magic.
Well, you just no, saw through
like
the Matrix.
Yeah, like I want to know if fake Victorian England has magic, and if so, like maybe the White Queen is trying to take over fake Victorian England, and it's the stepmom.
Once upon a time in fake Victorian England is next.
It is.
Season.
They confirmed it. It's not Belfire's London. They're two separate Londons.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Two completely separate realities. But let's see here. Okay, now comes the time when we have to quantify the episode. What's that?
I said my last point. Cinderella and Anastasia are sisters. I'm done. Go on.
Okay, So that could be that. I like that.
No, it is because like she that. Said the mother said to Anastasia, "Your sister is now a princess." And in the very first episode, we see Cinderella. Like, why not tie that back to Storybrooke and bring that back? And Cinderella's sister was named Anastasia.
Was Cinderella, wouldn't there still be like a stepsister unaccounted for? A stepsister? Because didn't she have two?
Yeah, there could be. I mean, that's just my theory. And
no, I do like that, though.
I like that.
And the Cinderella episode was like episode 3, so it's something that they could change. Like, maybe she had more stepsisters, but I think that Anastasia and Cinderella are stepsisters, especially since we have seen Cinderella already in the show. Okay, you can do your ratings.
Okay, arbitrary scale.
Arbitrary scale.
I'll start with Anne-Marie. Okay. Anne-Marie, arbitrary scale. Out of 7 vials of Alice's dad's blood, how many vials of Alice's dad's blood would you give this episode?
4.82 vials of Alice's dad's blood.
Why? And what is the blood type?
It is blood type B. And
no, it's A for Alice, duh.
I never claimed to be smart. No, like it was pretty good. It wasn't excellent by any stretch of my imagination, but it wasn't so bad. Definite room for improvement. Hoping that the mid-season finale is, well, something to write home about. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but I didn't hate it.
Hope, out of 7 vials of Alice's dad's blood, how many vials would you give? And we already know the type. Would it be a dark maroon red or a bright kind of royal red?
Wow.
I'd probably give it probably about a 4.5, and then I'd be vomiting after I drank it. so it'd probably be kind of a green color.
Okay, that's fair.
No, nice. I agree. It wasn't as good as last week's. Last week's was definitely my favorite of the season so far. But it wasn't as bad as some of the other ones. Like I still think episode 2 was the lowest of all of them, which sucks because it's the main love story. the main snuff story that they won't actually explore. And so, yeah, I agree. Like, you know, it was good. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. And I enjoyed seeing more of Jafar's backstory and seeing, like, his reasons why. And I'm hoping we get more tie-ins soon with the main series.
Fair enough.
Jefferson.
Okay, I think I disliked it a little more than you guys did. I'm going to give it a 2.5 vials of Alistat blood.
That's barely enough blood to change fire.
And the blood will taste like tobacco based on his mustache.
Oh my god, it's just like spat out coffee.
He's smoking a pipe.
But yeah, it was just like, this was one of those episodes, and I have one of these every other episode, like I was saying earlier, where, and I went out on Twitter, I finally tweeted out the tweet I've been wanting to tweet. Ancient Chinese curse. Have the show that you do a podcast about get a spinoff. This was one of those weeks for me where I was like, man, why did Once Upon a Time have to get a spinoff? I don't feel like watching this twice. But you know what? At the second time, it was a little better. And I've enjoyed talking about it with both of you. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't all bad, right?
Yeah. So maybe it was three vials.
Well, 3.75 is 50%. So what's your percentage on this?
You know what? I'll give it 2.5 vials, but I'll give it a little kind of smaller vial full of his saliva, too. Yep, so
let's stick a cork in it. a diamond cork.
Okay, so yeah, that's about it for this week. We'll discuss next week's episode, which I believe is the half-season finale. You know what? We didn't touch on this up. I don't know if we did or not at the top of the episode, but we're kind of reconsidering our Wonderland strategy.
Yeah. In case you can't tell.
Basically, you know, we've been talking the entire season so far, how we're expecting this to really hook back into the main series in some major way. We talked about it this episode. Maybe the whole changing the rules of magic thing might be it. Then maybe they're bringing a character back over, like roll back over to the main series.
Oh, it has to be the neighbor. I'm going to be so upset. He has to be one of them.
But, you know, so we're going to see how the finale goes next week. We're going to, you know, do next week's episode as normal, release on Saturday night, like normal. And then we're going to make some decisions on how we're going to approach next half season. We've talked a couple different things, like maybe like grouping the episodes up, like saving two or three episodes up and doing like one or two episodes of the Wonderland podcast a month. We've talked about maybe in the main show, saving 5 or 10 minutes at the end after we deal with the main series to talk about once, maybe collecting those up every couple episodes and throwing them on this feed. If you're subscribed to the main Wonderland feed, let us know, because if one person contacts us and lets us know, we'll try not to let the feed die. We'll try and figure out some way to have stuff definitely going out on that feed every week. If not, we might let the feed die.
So I'll tweet you.
Yeah. See, but you listen to the main show though, because
I listen to both. So,
but see, the Wonderland show also goes out on the main show feed. So if you're on the main show feed, you get both. But there, we also have a separate that just has the Wonderland episodes on it. So we're curious if anyone's on that. So, you know, email us greetingsfromstorybrook@gmail.com. Tweet us at GF Storybrook, like Hope said there. But, you know, we'll be making some decisions next week. I'm pretty sure we'll definitely know whether or not we're going to be keeping the same format every week with a guest, you know, for sure after we see next week's episode. So stay tuned for. Oh, go ahead.
Can I weigh in?
Yeah, sure.
Because since I listen to both your shows and I watch both shows religiously, I think if you're going to change the format at all, I would save like a few Wonderland episodes at a time and almost do it like a roundtable format. That way you can have a couple guests on, and that way you won't be like, oh, we have to get on a guest every single week. And I like the fact that you guys separate Wonderland from Once, because as I mentioned, they are two very different shows. And I think if you put it like at the tail end of a Once Upon a Time episode, it's going to muddle it together when they really are two separate entities.
Yeah, I definitely, and I mean, at least in my head, and Amory could totally definitely feel a different way, but that's kind of how I'm leaning. It's just because I know that when we missed a week on the Wonderland, and we kind of doubled up to discuss with Rebecca and Snow Bunny a few weeks ago, Deb, a few weeks ago, that it ended up being a very strong episode overall, and it felt really strong. So I thought maybe that might be a better way to go going forward, but we'll figure it out.
We've got like 12 weeks to figure it out or something ridiculous.
Yes, we do. But usually here we would have an ad. We're not going to have one this week because we didn't feel like looking some stuff up. But I'll say, you know what?
You should go read books. Yeah.
Yeah. Go read my book, Dog Boy.
There we go.
Available at dogboyadventures.com, or you can go straight to the Amazon page, bit.ly/dogboybook. And now onto the news.
News. The news.
See, Skype always messes that up, darn it.
No, I started early on purpose. I've been waiting for that.
Excellent.
Okay, I love that that's a highlight for our guest, by the way, because we just randomly started it.
Okay, so first off, we have the ratings here. They got 3.61 million viewers and 1.0 on the key demo. And I'm pulling the quote directly from HitFlix or HitFix.com where we got this here. They said, oddly, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland was slightly up in young viewers, but that may be related to ABC having the NFL preemption in Houston. So basically, kids in Houston who were expecting to watch football or the watch reason once. That oddly, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland had a couple more viewers than normal.
God forbid they want to watch TV.
I just thought it was really funny how they phrased that. Like, they just started the sentence, oddly, like this show has viewers.
It was its own paragraph. Like, it was a straight up own paragraph.
Isn't
oddly.
It weird how Once Upon a Time in Wonderland is doing a little better? Isn't that weird?
It's just weird.
People want to watch actual TV and not football. What is going on?
Yeah, but
no anti-sports.
I'm a
diehard Braves fan, born and raised, man. I actually get mad at Adam when he tweets about Yankees. We might have gotten to a few heated debates.
Black and yellow.
But since I know everybody out there wants to go look at the full Sunday or Thursday night ratings for all the networks, we'll have links to this in the show notes at Greetings from Storybook.
Okay, I'm going
to
comment on it. Before that. So this was up against the live Sound of Music.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I swear everybody in America was watching either the Sound of Music or Big Bang Theory.
And that's the thing. Like, if they're going to continue this into the next half and next year, they need to get it out of the 8 o'clock time slot.
That's a horrible time slot for
they
it.
Do. They do. Really they need is. To take it to Sunday night. They need to put it at 9 p.m. Sunday night is what they need to do.
Shoot, I'd be happy if they put it at 7.
Even if they just move it at 9, like, put it in Grey's Anatomy's spot, like, that would just make it do so much better.
Right. With
so,
a good
you guys, I have to, like, you guys are hating on my Big Bang
Theory. I love Big Bang Theory. There's
yeah, Anne-Marie likes it. I'm the one who was hating on it.
Well, you guys totally gave out wrong information in your very first Wonderland episode.
Oh, did we?
Go ahead,
correct us. We love to be corrected. So.
Oh, Big Bang Theory does not use laugh tracks.
Oh, that's a him than me. That's too smart for me.
Did I say something about laugh tracks?
Oh, yeah. You guessed and you both were going off about it. And because the thing is, like, if you watch the blooper reels, they talk to the audience. The actors or the writers, if a joke falls flat, they'll actually stop filming and go back and rewrite the joke. And they'll keep trying it. And usually by that time, they're on take 15 or 20. And the stakes are so high that it's funny when they actually get it. The ladies from Big Bang Buzz podcast have attended several filmings and several takes, and they're going to be on my show in the next month. Yay! I thought I would plug that one out there. And finally, Bob Newhart has been a guest twice, and he absolutely refused to be on a show with a laugh track because of what happened on his show when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we've learned something now.
Fair enough. I apologize for it. I still don't like the show, though, Hope.
No, I was like, when you said that in your very first Wonderland episode, I was just like, Bill, I was like driving my car, and I was like, no, Bill, that's not right.
You know what? You totally should have been, because the sad thing is I knew that they didn't use a laugh track. I think I have heard they do sweeten it a little bit, but I know that they definitely go for the live reaction. So if I said that, it was from a position of ignorance. I don't know what I was thinking, and you were correct.
He may have had too much magic juice that night.
Yes, the magic juice.
I blame the magic juice.
That one.
I was waiting because by that time you had already asked, like, hey, would this be something you'd be interested on being in Wonderland? And by that time I was just like, oh, I will wait.
So you had that bugaboo just waiting.
Oh my gosh, yes. I've been sitting on it for a while now.
Okay, and we also...
Isn't that sad? That's my life.
No judgments here. No judgments here. I don't want to tell you how many hours I wasted looking up, speculation on the Doctor Who 50th anniversary.
Oh, episode. You really don't want to even
know. It was so good.
It was a part-time job.
I haven't listened to your episode yet, but I'm excited for it.
Oh, definitely do. We had a Patrick, anyone else out there, if you didn't catch our 50th episode about Day of the Doctor, weird because it's a Once Upon a Time podcast, but check it out. We had Patrick Delahanty, who's a huge Who head, and Snow Bunny, who's a favorite past guest on. So definitely check that out. And we also have the You can get that at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com, where you can also get the link to the preview for next week's episode.
Nice, which we're going to talk about right now.
Thank you. Yes, which we're talking about. Let's see. There's some making out with Cyrus and Alice.
Yeah.
Jafar breaks a bottle. They meet each other in a field. And there's a big magic, almost looks like a curse cloud or something, rolling into Wonderland there. I wonder what all that's about. But
all I want is more background with Cyrus and Alice, because they're the main couple on the show and they've only had one episode while everybody else has had two or more. And I hope we actually get to see more of them falling in love, because as of right now, you can tell us all day they're in love, but it doesn't register as well unless we get to see it.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, it looks like we're definitely going to get some more foreground of them, some more of them in the present day. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, if a situation takes focus, you know, in the present day, then they have some decent flashbacks for it, too. But we'll see, because we haven't really got many flashbacks. No, never mind. This episode was completely flashback. I'm on crack. So let's move on to the listener questions and feedback.
This is a quality episode, everyone. It is. This is quality.
It's wonderful.
This is my favorite one so far, but I might be biased.
But we always love to hear from you, especially right after you've heard the episode. We do record these on Saturday nights, but if you want to rate it on Thursday night, right after you watch the episode, you can go and write us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke. You can hit us up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. We did have a Google Plus page link in here, too, google.com/+greetingsfromstorybrooke. And you can leave us a voicemail, which is our favorite, at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And we actually have a voicemail here that we didn't get a chance to listen to later. It came in last week.
It came in after we recorded it.
So we'll go ahead and play it here and then respond to it.
Hey, guys. Greetings from Bradenton. Robert here again. Bloody hell. The name sure says bloody hell a lot, doesn't he? As soon as I heard Alice's new mother correct her father by saying half-sister, I knew I wasn't going to like her one bit. But it was... I did find it nice how they tried to knock some sense and sensibility into Alice by introducing Jane Eyre as Mr. Darcy. That's the first fictional character of Victorian England I can remember being on the show, so I'm pretty sure that firmly establishes Alice in Victorian England. The Black Forest. I finally get to know where Subway's Black Forest ham comes from, but that forest was creepy as heck. The faces in the trees and the creepy carpenter with the saw, that was definitely creepy. I'm saying creepy almost as much as he said bloody hell. But it was interesting to see, to hear the knave still doesn't have his heart. I wonder where his heart is.
Thank you, Robert from Bradenton. We love getting voicemails. They make us happy.
Yeah, unfortunately, that one, I think it came in like right after we finished recording last week.
Yeah, pretty much. It was, we couldn't even go back to like talk about it. But yeah, I liked the bringing back of Mr. Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of pulling that more, fictitious world into this fictitious world. And I enjoyed where the Black Forest ham comes from.
I spilled in delight when I saw Darcy. I was just like, really? Yay! But I also really like those literary characters opposed to like the fairy tale characters and seeing them like together in like one area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, we didn't get much more feedback. We did get a couple.
There's a couple on the Facebook.
I'm looking at them right now. Let's see, from when we got, I think Alice's father will go mad at the cost of his return trip home and then end up in the asylum. I could
Which is sort of what we, yeah.
He looked a little shaken there. And Deb Snow Bunny.
Deb.
I get more Southern every time I say it, too.
Well, you've been in Georgia for over 3 years. Welcome to our life.
I was born and raised here. You're not Southern.
No, he's really not.
I was actually born and raised in Houston, Texas, so I am a little. But
that's not real Southern. That's Texas.
That's like a whole other country.
It is a whole other country.
But let's see. Deb says here, I think Alice is out of wishes. I thought she promised one to the knave, and she has already used two. I liked this episode and was glad we finally figured out the cage man was Jafar's papa. Looks like Jafar wants Alice's wishes to make his father love him. I am only guessing. Excited for this episode. Can't wait to hear it. Deb, aka Snow Bunny. No. Thank you very much, Snow Bunny. And let's see, was there anyone else? No, a bunch more from Hope being like, no, hey. Oh, yeah, we had one from Michelle here that says, is anyone still watching it?
Well, apparently people in Houston are watching it extra
actually,
now.
Yes.
People were really excited about it when I was at Enchanticon. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, no, I'm missing Once Wonderland tonight. And, like, they were, like, we talked a little bit about it on my panel. Like, so it's so strong, I would say, like, in a smaller part of the fandom. Like,
just, like, the people who aren't quite as loud about it. Or maybe it's just that people are so loud about the main series that the people who are excited about, super excited about Wonderland just kind of get drowned out there a little bit. But, you know, like I said, up at the top again, if you want to contact us, you can get a hold of us. Greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com is the email. Twitter is @GFStorybrooke. And voicemail, preferred method, 424-274-2352. Links to everything we've talked about in today's episode will be available at our website at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Now, Hope, where can people find you?
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
No, I have a podcast of my own. It's called Hope of All Trades, and it's kind of a jack of all trades podcast because I'm in too many fandoms that I can't count. Mm-hmm. And I've done everything from reviews of Iron Man 2 to comic books. I'm about to do a Pokemon X and Y review in a couple months with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I've done several Once specials. And it's part of a network called Two True Freaks. We run about 20 regular shows from Walking Dead Wednesdays to Star Wars Monthly Mondays. I'm a regular on Who True Freaks, which is our Doctor Who show. I've been on those episodes several times. So yeah, Two True Freaks, look me up, Hope of All Trades. And I also have a Once Upon a Time blog called onceuponanobsession.tumblr.com. And I love Twitter. I'm on there more than I should be. At Hope Mullinax, which is Mullinax. And I'm not going to tell you how to spell Hope.
Nobody knows.
Hopee.
Yeah, we'll have links to all your stuff up on the show notes too. Amory, where can people find you besides this wonderful podcast?
You can find me wasting my life away on Twitter as well at @AMDSimone. Thank you, social media, for being nice and easy. And then there's my slightly dying, but I'm trying to revive it blog of crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.wordpress.com.
I like your blog. Guys, you actually go to it? It's fantastic.
I try.
No, it's so wonderful. Like, guys, like, seriously, go read Bill's book and Amory's blog. Like, they're both two fantastic things. And you have to leave voicemails because voicemails is the best way to get in touch with them. And they love it. Like, seriously. Like, support us podcasters. We love you.
You know what? I think Hope just became my favorite guest we've ever had on the show.
No reason. I love you guys' show. Like, I think that's half the fun of being here because I'm also very much a fan of your show while, like, being here.
Well, you did pretty good about not getting so into the show that you forgot that you were on it, so that's good. Now, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. My Google Plus account is google.com/plusbillmeeks. And as I mentioned earlier in the episode, I wrote a book. It's called Dog Boy Den of Thieves. You can find out more about that at dogboyadventures.com. And I guess that's it.
Hey, Wonderbrookland.
Yeah, so until I won't do the close yet. The close yet. We have one more episode of Wonderland left for this half season, so we'll be back next Saturday night with an announcement of some sort. We may be here in the future, we may not be. We may
we'll at least have one podcast a week next.
I hope you guys are still here.
No, we're not in school.
I'm still holding out for Once Upon a Time in Oz. So.
Oh yeah, we've actually talked about that too.
Yeah.
I'm totally calling that Dr. Whale is Oz, and he got there from traveling with Jefferson since he was a teenager. You can read that on my blog too. I've been writing that.
Nice, but so we will be back next week, and let's see. I kind of screwed the pooch on the outro there, so I'm going to approach it again after saying a bunch of other stuff to kind of break it up. And so I guess until next week, greetings from
Wonderbrook.
Wonderbrook.